Hey folks, you are now listening to the 15th episode of the Pride Diaries, and it's still Pride Month, even though Pride Month has been tedious. From Black Lives Matter protests to the violence against women, justice to all the women who have been abused, harassed, and killed. But this month, I am choosing to focus on love. Love that sees and accepts us. I also have a guest coming in to talk about their life experiences and being out at work and also love. So I hope you enjoy listening to this episode.
I love to see you beautiful. I want to see your life.
I feel like for me, the love that I am currently experiencing is both self-love and romantic love, and I feel like sending this is like perfect timing because the person that I'm seeing now literally just said to me yesterday that she thinks that she's in love with me. But and it feels good because when she said it, I felt it. So and even before then, I have already like seen like the way that we are together. It's very peaceful. It's that kind of love or affection that is very peaceful. But I feel like I didn't get there until I really, really loved myself, until I like was able to gas my own self up and like see myself the way that I wanted someone to love me. And I'm glad that the other person also sees that, like, they love themselves first and, you know, they want to share that with someone else. And I feel like it made it really easy for me to embrace the love that my partner is giving me as well. And it's amazing, you know. It's amazing because it's peaceful. That's like the major thing. It's the love that is peaceful. And so I feel like sending this right now is just perfect because it is what I am currently experiencing, and it feels so amazing. It feels just so good. And I'm just looking forward to it growing, the love that I have for myself, the love that my girl has for me, and just seeing where it goes, you know. Like, I still want to see how much it can grow, do you get what I mean? Like, that's basically the sort of love that I am experiencing right now, yeah.
Hi. So, love. What is love? Love is so many things to so many people at so many times, so many different times in people's lives, I guess. For me, it's supposed to be something you feel uninhibited by, you know. It's just a feeling, you know. I mean, you can never really exactly say for sure that you feel what you're feeling at any moment, any given moment in time is love, right? But you just know when you love someone or love something or love, you know, a situation. So, yeah, and it's just a feeling of, you know, extreme happiness at a point in time. It doesn't really matter what it is. I mean, even there is such a thing as toxic love. So, you know, even if this thing you're loving is like detrimental to you at the time it is happening, it's love still. That's the crazy thing about it. So yeah, I'm trying really hard to, you know, increase my self-love capacity, because I find that I allow myself love people and things and, you know, other people, friends, family, all that. I find myself loving those things or giving more love to those aspects of my life more than my actual self, and that has really been, you know, fucked up. Excuse my Italian. That has really been fucked up. It has really just not been good for me, mentally, psychologically, all of that. So, oh my god, this thing has gone past 2 minutes. Okay, I just want to learn how to love myself no matter what. Thank you.
So I want to talk about, honestly, I hate that I'm about to talk about romantic love, because there's been so many great loves in my life and a large percentage of them were not romantic, but I currently have romantic love and it's so beautiful, so I want to share. Okay, so I met this girl on Twitter and it was just a very random like occurrence. It wasn't a big thing. It was just, she made a tweet, something about yoga, and I responded, and she sent me a video about yoga, and we're supposed to start doing yoga together. And you know, we just clicked from there. Like, I could tell the click was so instant, because I think the third time we were speaking on the phone, I was like, yeah, this is my person. I like this person. And she sees me. It's like, she sees me more than anybody has ever seen me. And it's crazy because I don't know what the word is. I've always had to do this seeing for myself, right? So I have been the one to see myself, because both in romantic partnerships, platonic partnerships in the past, it's like, because it wasn't very deliberate relationships I had, it was a bit difficult for people to see me. And even if they saw me, they saw the version of me I was giving them, because I wasn't giving them my honest self 100%. So with this girl, she's so beautiful. She's such a beautiful human being. And she sees me. She really, really sees me. She takes into account my presence and my expression. And she asks me, how do you feel, all the time. And she makes my life easy. Because I have always been the dependable one in relationships. All my relationships, I assume the caregiver, caretaker role. And this is the first time in my entire life that I am being with a dependable person. So it's like, I don't have to be any of those things that I was to all those people. I mean, I do have to be that. But like, I'm not carrying the load alone. It's like, this relationship is give and give. And when both people are giving, everybody is taking equally. It's not a give and take. It's not, oh, one person is giving, the other one is taking. It's give and give. So it's so beautiful. I feel very seen. I feel very blessed. I feel like the universe said, you know what? It's time for you to rest. It's time for you to breathe. I'm just like, put her there to aid my breath. And I'm really, really grateful that I met her. I hope it blossoms into something more beautiful, because it already is very beautiful. I just hope it's straight growth from here, and I'm so happy. Okay, it's more than 2 minutes, I apologize.
When I think about a love that sees me as I am, I think about my chosen family. So in 2018, I moved to a new city, and it was a bit difficult as a lesbian just coming into my sexuality to be in a city where I knew practically nobody. But then I became friends with these amazing individuals, six of them, like. I don't know, our meeting was very random, and to be honest, I don't even remember how it all started, but it's been almost 2 years and we've managed to build a little family for ourselves, and it's honestly the best thing to have that circle of queer friends that understand your experience and your struggles and are interested in your growth and development as a person. And the difficult days, I know I can just call them up, and I'm always certain their response is going to be, oh, how can we help you figure this out? Sometimes it's as basic as, oh, I see you. And I think at the base of it all, that's what we all want. People will see us, people understand us, and people who can just love us as we are. And I also love how we are able to have the difficult conversations in order to unlearn our biases, and when we are together, it's fun. Like, we have fun when we are together, and like, with them, I'm my truest and freest self, and it's amazing. It's great. They're my ride or die. And whenever they need me, I'll always be there to like support them, just as they do for me. And that's love, I think.
So for me, it was when I had to come out to one of my closest friends, and I was just so worried about how she would take it, because I really didn't really care much for other people, but for her, she's one of the most important people in the world to me. So I just wasn't really sure if I could tell her, you know, and not lose the friendship. And like, I was asking my other gay friends, but their best friends are gay as well, so they didn't really have much advice to give me, but they just said I should go for it if I'm sure, and it's not like I'm asking for permission, I'm just going to be informing her. So I finally summoned the courage to tell her, and when I did, the first thing she said was, "Why did it take you so long?" I was just lost, like, wow. I was just so relieved, and I was really happy that, you know, even now nothing has changed. Nothing has changed in the way we relate, in the way she sees me, in the way we converse. We converse just great. Like, before she knew that I was gay, it didn't change anything. She just saw me as the person that I have always been. So that's what love is for me. Friends that accept you as you are and don't judge you and do not make you feel less of a person, because, you know, you are valid.
Okay. For myself, I'd say it's been a lot. I've lost friends, I've gained new friends because of my sexuality, and it's still a work in progress here, but most people still find it hard to accept me. I mean, I'm open and out of the closet to my sisters, my parents, not so much. My friends, I have friends who I'm very open to, but you know, most of them still think it's your face, and I really don't blame them, they're just not ready to accept it. I've been with my girlfriend for like 4 years, well, be 4 years next month, and so far so good. It's been a lot, I mean, a lot, so much ups and downs, but the ups are like the best parts you get. We've worked our way through where we are, and I mean, it's been good. Yeah, but ever since, I have this ex who has come back and is trying to find her way back into my life. Like, she was my first love, my first sex, my first orgasm, my first, you get now, my first love, you get. So she like broke up with me and stuff, and after her, I had a rebound. After that rebound, that didn't work well, then my relationship I'm like focused on right now, and to be honest, she has my weak spot, but I'm not ready to mess things up at all, because I mean, it took me a lot to get to where I am right now, so I don't know, it's been confusing, but we'll move.
Hi guys, happy Pride Month. So here is my contribution for this episode of the pod. I pretty much had a bi-curious phase for a long period of time. Started as like an adventure or something I just wanted to try out, you know. And then at about that time, I met someone who literally has walked me through it as a friend, a very good friend. She's introduced me to queer spaces where I've interacted at some point with other queer people. Sometimes I have questions or things that I don't understand, and I hit her up and she explains, like, she literally walked me through it. And the other people I've had to interact with too were really nice. The people that don't even know me from anywhere, some of them I really wouldn't see anymore, but they've been nice. They didn't make me feel like maybe I am trying to be something I'm not, or I'm trying so hard, or I'm forcing myself to fit into a space or a box. It's been all love, and in the end, that's what matters. Once again, happy Pride Month to all of us.
Hi, good evening. I wanted to talk about the love that sees me as I am. She was my first love. We're together for like 4 years or less. She really, really did take care of me, made me feel human and everything. She treated me like a queen. I was a student then, and she always comes to visit me. But along the line, her brother fell in love with me, and everything just... But for the time we were together, I really got to enjoy what it means to love and be loved. She was my everything. I'm still trying to know if I can find such love again. But I do miss her. Though we are more like sisters now. We talk, we communicate most times. But we can never like go back to where we used to be. So that's what I want to talk about. I don't know if it counts, Sha.
Okay, so talking about love that affirms me as a queer person, in addition to romantic love, which, by the way, my anniversary with my girlfriend was yesterday. Yes! that has been a great journey. It's been 2 years of acceptance, of coming into myself with her, of coming into ourselves together. Yeah, I mean, that has been fantastic. It's been great. So much love, so much growth. But what comes to mind right now to talk about is a family member that I just discovered was queer. And we've just been discovering this new relationship. For some reason, it just always feels like we have both always known. Like, we've both always been, you know, drawn to each other in a way. You know, had special care for each other, understood each other. And finding out that she's queer, we have a 10-year gap between us, by the way. So yeah, I mean, this intergenerational, she's not even like a nuclear family member, she's like extended, so the distance is reasonable, but the connection is still there. It's very, you know, real, very strong, and I find that very, it comforts me when I'm having a hard day. Another love that comforts me, in addition to my romantic love, the love I share with my queer family member, is the love I share with my friends, my chosen family. Finding those people is one of the best things that ever happened to me. And I hope that we are able to maintain ourselves and our friendship forever, because I do really feel like everyone... I feel everyone should have chosen family, especially when they're queer, and I feel like that's something that people should aspire to, should look for, should hope for, because it's beautiful. I don't know how great this voice note has been, but yeah, I mean, that's me. Honorable mention, my siblings, they're great. They're amazing. I mean, I haven't mentioned them. It's not because they don't matter to me or anything. It's just because I don't have a lot of time and I feel like my time is already up. But anyway, honorable mention, my siblings. Love you guys. Love everyone. Peace. Bye.
To see you beautiful, I want to see your light.
Hi, Tolun.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. So would you please introduce yourself?
Thank you very much. So I'm Tolu Oshinobi, and I'm based in London, and I am a technology manager, and I work for Deloitte. I've been working in technology for the last 7 years, and I identify as a Black gay woman. And I think for me, it's something that has been an interesting journey, which we can get more into over the next hour or so. But I think it's something that I'm very proud of.
Okay. Considering how America is right now and how the world, in fact, is the world.
So I think the last few days, I think wild is a very good word to describe it, that... Yeah. It's been very up and down in terms of emotions, because I think I have felt, so I have cousins in America, and obviously I'm based in the UK as well, that it brings a lot of sadness seeing the killing of George Floyd, and also just another really big example of the injustices and killing of unarmed Black men or black people that is happening all over the world. And it doesn't matter whether you're in America or in the UK or in Nigeria, that it's something that all the Black community is feeling and really mourning over and feeling a lot of sadness. So I think the message is very much that I think that the community does need to grieve and heal, but also I think all the people who haven't spoken up till now, that just to make sure that they keep that momentum. And so I'm talking about in terms of allies, and really continue to support your Black friends, make sure they're okay, and also hear what they have to say, but really, really listen to what they have to say. And really go and do your own education as well and learn.
It's enough to just say something. You have to actually learn. You actually have to be a part of the world, so feel like you're a part of the world.
Absolutely.
But you're taking care of your mental health, and you're, you know, taking as much time you need from the news. All right, so I'm just going to get right to questions. Mm-hmm. So how did you accept your sexuality?
So I think for me, I didn't really connect much with my sexuality until I went to university. So I think it was really the first time where I got to express myself, and also I think explore my sexuality as well. But I don't know, before university, it was very much focused on working really hard, and I just played a lot of sport. And that seemed to be where my focus was. And also, I think with Nigerian parents as well, that you were always drummed in, no time for boyfriends, but how right they were, very much no time. So, you know, I think that's how it's worked for me.
Okay. So how was coming out like for you? Because I know you're very out. So how is that? Like, how did you get there?
I think for me, it's been, so there's two sides really. So the coming out to my friends, and also at work and colleagues. And that's been a very lovely and supported process. And then the coming out to my family, that has been
much tougher and much more challenging. So if I start with my friends, it's always been, they've been very supportive and championed me, that the most important thing was that the fact that I was happy, and they've always wanted to hold me up through really difficult periods of time, and just happy as long as I was happy. And I think that's the most important thing. But I think with my family, it's been a much more tougher process. So telling my mum, for example, was one of the hardest things I've ever done ever in my life. It was terrifying. I felt really quite like beside myself with worry about how it would go, because my mum's very religious and she believes it's wrong, and she's expressed that very openly. So I sent her a video because I wanted to explain to her exactly everything before that we would have that conversation. I didn't want it to end up not saying my truth and also saying what I wanted to say to her, and then try and discuss it after. And I think after, at this point, she's not in a position where she accepts my relationship, but we still talk, is the way I'll put it. And I think for me, it's something that was very important to do. But then when I look at other parts of my family, so I've got a sister who's younger than me, and my cousin, they're so supportive and really champion everything that I do, and they're really super happy for me, and they constantly defend me to I know my cousin always has very interesting conversations with my mum because he's very supportive of LGBTQ rights, and he's always had my back. So I think having that sort of support as well has been really, really important for me. And having, you know, that love as well, no matter what. And my little sister has always stood by me, like, despite my mother, I would say. and she loves me, my partner, and she's very speaks out for LGBTQ rights. And she's also, I think importantly, she's formed her own opinion about everything. And I really respect that in her. And that she's obviously had two sides, but she's taken her own opinion out of that. And she's very bold and talented, and releasing her second song now, Love Me by Toby Zoe, available on all streaming platforms. So check it out. But yeah, so I really appreciate that. And I see a lot of that in, I think, the younger kids who are growing up in this time, that they do hear their parents, but then they try and form their own opinions, which I think is really important.
Great. I'm happy that you have that amount of support around you, despite your words, your mother. So how do you reconcile being a Christian and being gay?
So I think for me with that question, I wanted to rephrase it slightly and think about it as, rather than reconciling, that why do some Christians have a problem with gay people? So I think there's a really simple phrase that I think about is, the problem is it all surrounds around white supremacist Christianity, is the way to put it.
Yep.
And I think people should do their own research and listen to, like, the wealth of resources that explain more around the context. And for me, I spent a lot of time doing that, and whether it's reading the Bible, reading other resources to come to my own understanding of, I think context is very important. And if you frame things from a white supremacist Christianity context, you probably have a problem with gay people. But if you look at things with the teachings of Jesus was love, and having that context, that it's really, you really, I think, would struggle to come out with that view. And when I talk about doing my own research, so a podcast that I listen to that I think really changed my life is, it's called the Say Your Mind podcast by an amazing woman called Kelechi Okafor. And she calls out racism where she sees it, white supremacist Christianity as well, and other social injustices. And I think that's, for me, I found a lot of wisdom from there and from her, like, experiences and how she's articulated everything. And I would plead with people that what I would say what needs to happen is a lot of people need to decolonize their Christianity and then really focus on what the core things are and apply that context.
So you told me that you moved in or you're living with your fiance. So how long have you guys been together?
We've been together now for 5.5 years. Wow. So we met, so quite a long time now. So
yeah.
We met on an app called Her. And I'd say the way she slid into my DMs, told me I had a nice smile, and I don't think we've stopped talking since. So yeah, it's awesome.
That's so sweet. So how long did you guys start living together?
So we were together for about 2.5 years, nearly 3 before we lived together.
So do you experience being so out, do you experience homophobia in your workplace, from family, friends?
So from a family context, in the process of coming out and talking to my mum, I think there was a lot of lack of understanding coming out from those discussions, of not really grasping what it was to be gay or to be attracted to women. So I think with those things, I think I've always tried to contextualize, so the negativity coming from those sorts of conversations around that, as much as she can, it's coming from a loving place that she believes. So rather than, although it's incredibly frustrating and does make me sad at times, that to try and keep that at the heart of it, that there is love and that's what she thinks. But I think in terms of the workplace, I've been lucky not to experience direct homophobia, and the organisation I work for has very strong policies against that, and is very focused on inclusion and respect of all cultures. But I think that can be sometimes quite nuanced, and I cross over many intersectionalities, which can also leave you very open to multiple forms of discrimination as well. And that is unfortunately the reality for Black queer people as well. So I think the way I look at it is that I don't exist without all the other intersectionalities which make me me. So that is being Black, being female, being gay, and also being an immigrant to the UK. So that makes them all those intersectionalities bring together and make me me. Yeah.
So how long has it been since you came out to your mom?
That was nearly like a couple of years now. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you think it's getting better?
I think it goes from period to period. So at the start, there was quite a lot of silence. And now we have dialogue, but that dialogue kind of goes up and down, and it can be quite sick. It can be quite go in cycles. So I think we're probably in a better place than originally when it started. But I think if I can think of the biggest amount of progress, that she acknowledges the name of my partner, but isn't very complimentary about me being in a relationship with a woman. So I think that is progress.
Yeah,
that is nevertheless progress, because that's not where we were at the start. So yeah. I guess for me, we'll see how things go there. But I think ultimately for me, when I think about that, and I have, like I said in the previous question, that there are so many strong structures of support, whether that's I'm lucky to have that within some aspects of my family, but also within my friends. And I think gay people have that, I think it was RuPaul that said it, that you can make your family and build that support structure around you. So I definitely do that, and I think many people within the queer community do that, and they have strong family supports who are not necessarily blood.
Speaking of which, do you have like advice for Nigerian queers who just moved to the UK and figuring their life out? This is actually a special question for because my friend is moving.
Okay. So I thought about this one, and I was talking to my partner about this as well. I was like, what should I be saying? And then I was like, the first piece of advice I'd say, get yourself on a queer dating app. There's so many to choose from. Start having some conversations, make some connections. But then also, there's lots of social media accounts which would be good to follow. So there's a Instagram account called Femzy in London as well, which is really good and posts a lot of really interesting content and some interesting articles. And also BBZ, which is a Black queer art and DJ collective, where they have some nights out and also post a lot of interesting content in that way. And in terms of fun nights out, there's a night out called Pussy Palace, so I'd say look that up, and that's always a good night out, and hopefully we'll be in a position where we can actually go to bars and clubs soon, because that's obviously not the case. But one night that I do like going to, it's called Sink the Pink, and it's described as an intersectional disco, and it's always really fun, and people dress up, and it's a really fun night out. But also you can head down to like Dalston Superstore, and I know there's a night called Aphrodite at Miranda, which is at the bottom of the Ace Hotel in East London as well. So there's quite a few things going on. So for your friend, there's lots to connect into. And I think as well that unfortunately, with the COVID situation, Pride hasn't been able to happen in the same way that it would normally do, but in different circumstances. This month in Pride Month, there would be also UK Black Pride, which is the largest BAME Pride celebration in the UK. So that's always an incredible event. So I would definitely tell your friend to connect into those sorts of communities as well.
As you were listing all the places, all the bars, I was just jealous because I live in Nigeria and, you know, what a story. Do you think we'll ever stop being like this?
So that was this question for me, I think I found the hardest one to answer, because it makes you very sad, and it makes me very heavy that gay people are still criminalized in Nigeria, and that really gets weaponized in a lot of people's agendas and the way they represent gay people, which is so unfair. So it makes me incredibly sad. But I think what I hope for, and when I see some of my younger cousins and my younger sister, that I'm very hopeful that the young people and the future generations will start unlearning the decades of, you know, hate and homophobia, and they will be very much more you know, directing it around, you know, as I described before, they doing their own research and coming to their own opinions about things, and driving that idea of equality and wanting to build a better Nigeria for their generation and the future generations. And I think there's so many amazing activists that are fighting for LGBT rights and equality and acceptance in Nigeria, and I stand by those people, and I think they're giants and they do such an amazing thing, and they have so much respect and love from me, and I just think that more power to them, and they just make the situation so much better. So
really do, they're actually doing a lot of work, not just like, especially kids, they're supporting the therapy, paralegals, it's amazing really. I think that we will get there, I think that we'll get get to a point where people accept us. I just don't know how long that's going to take. Like, even if, like, if I'm going to be alive with that, but I think we're making progress. Like, on social media, there's so many queer accounts, people coming out. Although these people don't have faces, but it's just knowing that these people exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're making
progress. I agree with you, because it's that concept of, even if it's not a face, but that visibility of just being there is so, so important. Yeah.
Thank you so much for talking to me on Friday. I hope to hear from you soon.
I am dedicating this voice note to my chosen family. They have been so supportive and amazing since the 1 year we became family, and I am so grateful for them, really. And they mean so much to me, because before them, I only had one queer friend who knew I was queer, and, you know, we shared that in common. And that, it was terrible. It was a terrible friendship outside the queerness. So I thought that I would not be able to replicate that again, but somehow I did. And it's not just one person, like 5-6 people. So they are really special and amazing. We used to go out together to queer gatherings and, you know, places that are famous, but now that it's COVID, we just have like 3 group chats where we talk all day like we're in a relationship. So this is me telling them that I love them, and I hope that we continue staying family for as long as we live. I hope you could feel the love in this episode, which is what I have been trying to do for 3 years now. It's the Pride Diaries 30th anniversary. In June 2017, I was in my room talking with a couple of friends about how we discovered that we were queer. And it occurred to me that there may be queer people out there who don't have community. And I started this podcast to provide companionship for people who couldn't find others outside themselves like them. We have grown from then to now, and we hope to keep growing, which is why I'm asking you to share this podcast with your friends and family. We are now available on major platforms like Spotify and Apple Music. Until next time, this is your host, Rainbow.
To see you beautiful.